Whoa. Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way they dribble up and down the court. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Let's go to the great Kelly Eco joining us on the HR&P guest line. Regional NBA reporter for The Athletic, of course, from Houston. Kelly, intriguing series. You know, Houston, of course, the 2 seed, Golden State, the 7. Warriors, though, are the betting favorite in the series. Opened up at minus 200 to win the series. Been bet down a little bit. When you break this one down, what are the key areas? What are the key matchups that really have your interest the most?
Well, obviously, right off the bat, the biggest matchup probably is going to be Amen Thompson on Steph Curry and Dylan Brooks on Jimmy Butler, just because, you know, those are the Warriors' two offensive hubs. And, you know, given how they've performed since the trade acquisition of Butler, you know, they've played essentially a top five rate since then. It's going to be uber important for the Rockets to be in sync defensively. You know, this is a Warriors team that you guys are very familiar with in terms of their ball movement, their player movement, just the way they're able to confuse opponents on a nightly basis. And a young team like the Rockets, who are largely inexperienced in this realm, you know, they could find themselves in trouble if they don't get things under control early. So for Amen, for Dylan, obviously keeping those guys at bay is going to be, you know, the biggest keys to advancing in this series, because the large perception, the public perception, I can't think of how many times I've seen a number 2 seed be underdogs in a series. So it goes without saying that the Warriors' experience will come in handy. But for Houston to find a way of advancing, it starts with Thompson defending Curry and Brooks defending Jimmy Butler.
Kel, I walked in and Ryan, our intern, mentioned to me that Jabari is having some issues with his groin. Is that anything to worry about? And then, how do you feel like they're going to implement the double bigs? We saw in the 7-8 matchup, we saw that Golden State had trouble with size. But as Jeremy and I talked about, it's really unrealistic to think you can run that out there for extended periods of time.
Yeah, and the Warriors have proven over the years that they specialize in exploiting bigs. And there's a reason why Alperen, for just the duration of his career, has often struggled against Golden State. He had a good game in the most recent meeting. But from a double big perspective, the reason why that could be potentially tricky is because if you watched Houston's last game of the regular season against Denver, he may try to use that lineup. And instead of playing just the 2-3 zone, he tried to play them in the man-to-man coverage. Now, the problem with doing that against a team like the Warriors that is a top-5 team in terms of three-point attempts, three-point makes, they're going to move the ball around. They're going to put you in precarious positions where you have to adjust quickly. Alperen, Sengun, and Steven Adams are not the quickest of big men, and there's a potential that those guys could be caught out lacking on a routine basis. So I think it really depends on how the game is going. It's probably a better thing to use when Steph is off the floor, because you won't have to worry as much of being caught out in a mismatch, put it on the island. But it's still a tricky lineup to use, because the whole purpose of that double big lineup is to give themselves an advantage on the offensive glass and to give themselves extra positions. But the Warriors, I think they were 5th in offensive rebounds per game. So this is not a clear-cut advantage that the Rockets can point to say, okay, we want to throw this lineup out to give us, you know, 3 or 4 extra cracks at the ball. The Warriors are also a great rebounding team as well. So it's going to be a very tricky chess match in that regard.
Being joined by Kelly Eco on the HR&P guest line.
I was just going to ask Kelly before we go move on. Jabari's okay?
I think he should be fine. I mean, obviously the groin is a tricky thing, but I don't think any of these guys are going to miss game one. I think you have to drag him out of the hospital. That was going to happen. I think he'd be fine.
Kelly, this came up on the show yesterday. A texter asked us, and it led to a pretty good conversation. Who has the coaching advantage in this series?
That's a great question. Obviously, you would have to give the coaching advantage to Steve Kerr because of what he's done with this team, the longevity, the continuity, that's even a word, of that group. But, you know, obviously he may have coached against Steve Kerr on a number of occasions, you know, most recently in the NBA Finals. And he obviously learned some lessons in terms of what to do, what not to do against this team. The issue is when you have the combination of Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Draymond, that championship cachet kind of trumps anything else that you could bring to the table. So the Rockets are going to have to play not perfect games, but the margin of error for them is very little. I don't think this is a situation where you can come out and have a slow first quarter or a slow, you know, third quarter, because the Warriors know how to capitalize on that, and they have done so many times in the past to earn themselves that respect and that right. So from a coaching perspective, Ime is going to have to be on, you know, 10 in terms of execution, adjustments, you know, X's and O's, just overall control of the game, because we've seen so many times the Warriors outcoach opponents and they put themselves in a bind and they're not able to get out of that. So he was going to have a lot of pressure in terms of the coaches that are trying to put together a potent game plan.
Kel, we know Steph and Jimmy, we know Alperen and Jalen, but who are the X factors on either side of the equation for these two teams?
For Golden State, I would say the X factor for them outside of Steph and Jimmy is Brandon Podzimski in terms of the shot making, in terms of just being the third scorer. Can he be a reliable source of offense? Because, you know, the Warriors like to stagger their lineups sometimes, and you'll see Jimmy out there with Pods or Pods with Steph, and it's just to give them such a different look. Can Brandon be that consistent source of floor spacing, playmaking, three-level scoring? Can he be that? For Houston, I don't think it's as much of a specific player as it is their ability to switch effectively. The Rockets are a top 10 team in terms of switching frequency, but they give up, they're the fifth worst in terms of points given up on those switches. And it's a really confusing stat, because on paper you would think that this team is one of the best switching teams in the NBA because of their number of athletes, the size, their physicality, but they haven't been particularly good on switches. And one thing the Warriors do really well is force a lot of switches. They hunt mismatches, they move the ball, they move players, they relocate, and they try to look for the best shot possible. The Warriors also struggle in terms of actual shot making, but the regular season and the playoffs are two very different animals. So I don't think they can lean too much on that lack of shot making in the regular season, because this is going to be a slugfest, and this is going to be a very grinded out type of game. So the Rockets are going to have to make sure that they switch crisply, they switch with communication, and they switch effectively.
Kelly Eco covers the NBA for The Athletic. Lots of conversation about the previous time that these two teams played, and you had the Draymond Alpi drama. Draymond Dillon have no love lost for each other. Even Ime and Steph were chirping a little bit after a timeout.
Right.
Dillon was asked about, like, hey, do you think you're going to be ejected in the series? And Dillon's like, I'm not getting ejected. How chippy do you expect this series to be?
Very chippy, very chippy. I'm surprised that Scott Foster is not clamoring for game one of this series, because this is going to be an extremely emotional series on both sides. I know the Rockets fan base has a lot of PTSD about Steph Curry in that building, and I know the Warriors have made it a particular point of pride to not have ever been beaten by the Rockets in the series. So I don't think that there's going to be any lack of fireworks, any lack of text. I'm just waiting to see who's going to actually throw the first blow.
Kel, I'm curious. I mean, we talked about the fact that, you know, the Rockets are talking like they weren't here and around for the way that the Rockets got manhandled by the Warriors in the Warriors' heyday.
Right.
But
right.
They can't forget it and escape it because it hovers over them continuously. I'm curious from your perspective. Right. We've talked about it on the show. This season has been a success for them no matter what they do in the playoffs. Do they have to win this series, in your mind, for it to be a success for you and for everybody else?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they have to. I think getting to 52 wins in a season where they arguably could have gotten to 60, I think that's as big of a success as anything. I don't think that they will be looked at, you know, with disgust or disappointment if they don't beat the Warriors. I mean, clearly America thinks that the Warriors are the favorites in the series, regardless of their seed, because of the experience factor. So if they lose this series to Golden State, I don't think it's a bad season. It's still a great season. It just shows that there's still a level that the Rockets have to reach, and that comes in the offseason in terms of figuring out, you know, do you need to bring in extra pieces? Are you looking for a blue-chip caliber player? That sort of thing.
Kelly, always appreciate the time. Great stuff as always. Looking forward to your coverage of the NBA playoffs.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
You got it. Kelly Eco covers the NBA. He didn't say your name.
He didn't do it this time.
He didn't do it. I was waiting for it. He didn't give it to us, though. We'll react to what Kelly had to say. Also, the drama. Dylan Brooks, Draymond, it has me fired up. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Something else that has me fired up, Truck Month. Truck Month has me fired up. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, listen up. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer you can trust. Transparent, no hassle pricing. They're not going to annoy you, which is always fundamental in car buying. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and these families keep coming back because they trust Monument Chevrolet. Family feel, friendly atmosphere, great culture. They hire good people. Their salesperson of the week, Theo Neal. Theo's worked with Monument Chevrolet for nearly two decades, dedicated to his customers, listens to what they say, guides them through the car buying process, and gives them the information they need to make an informed decision. So we like Theo. Ask for Theo next time you're at Monument Chevrolet. But you ask for it, and Monument Chevrolet, listen, Truck Month has been extended through the end of April, so a few more weeks to take advantage of this. That means you get employee pricing on Chevy Silverado 1500s through April 30th. Unbelievable deal, but there is one catch. Stock is limited. So if you're looking for a new truck, Silverado 1500, you better get over there now. Stock is going fast. Put that tax return to work and get a great deal and a great truck now at Chevrolet. And we told you, they're fair. They are transparent. They're not going to hassle you. Get a fair deal, fast deal, without wasting your time in aggravating, stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, now's the time to do it. Take advantage of Truck Month through the end of April. Visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com, or just get out to the dealership. 225 Beltway 8, Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Great year for the Rockets regardless, but just don't get swept. They're going to win. Golden State's record with Jimmy Butler's 23-7. That's cool. It's about to be 23-11. All right, peep that scenario. As soon as Draymond starts bullying Şengün, Dylan's going to whoop his head, and Adam's going to get revenge on his go Rockets rocket emoji. I am wearing my Rockets jersey that they gave me. Fits good. Fit is nice. I'm ready to go. Ready to run through a wall. Draymond, Dylan Brooks, they go way back. They go way back. They had some beef a couple of years ago. Here was this was Draymond going off on Dylan Brooks. I'm not really sure what initiated this, what started this. They probably played in a game or something. But Draymond Green just went scorched earth on Dylan Brooks.
If you ever wondered why the Memphis Grizzlies is not ready to compete for a championship, look no further than this idiot right here. They're actually depending on this guy to help them win a championship. And he says his game is cool. Quite frankly, that just shows how little you know about basketball. And you run around talking about a dynasty? The dynasty starts after you, not with you. I'm trying to figure out why they like you in Memphis. I'm not sure your teammates like you. Because it ain't happening right now, champ. Ah!
Ah.
You're a clown.
He cut a wrestling promo on Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
Cut a wrestling promo on him. It is WrestleMania weekend. He's Dylan and Draymond in the marquee. Go ahead.
It's interesting that was, I think, 2 years ago?
Yeah, two years ago.
And the thing is that when you go back in retrospect and think about that, that's right about the time that they, after that year, that they moved on from Dylan Brooks. And so maybe there was a little truth to the fact that, at least from the locker room standpoint in Memphis, whether he was, because now we're hearing he got blamed and they wanted to move on from him to get a tougher Marcus Smart type veteran in the locker room, where maybe there were some players that were disillusioned with him, but it turns out he wasn't the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So weird, you know, Draymond going off on Dylan, doing his thing, cutting a wrestling promo. Here was, apparently, Dylan Brooks doesn't do social media, I guess. I don't know. I don't follow players or whatnot. But he says he didn't do social media. Maybe he still doesn't, but he didn't do it then. But his teammates showed him that video that we just played for you. And here was Dylan Brooks responding to that Draymond clip from a couple of years ago.
It was some funny stuff, you know. Not a championship player. You know, I feel like my stuff that I said was facts, and we'll see at the end of the year what they do with him. But, you know.
Does it piss you off?
Because I know I'm a better player than him. I can do the same stuff like he does. That's easy. You know, that's just showing up to work. Me, you know, I try to score. I try to figure out plays. I try to call out plays for my team. You know, so just the fact that, you know, he was trying to, you know, pin my teammates against me, that's a low blow. So, you know. And that's what type of player he is.
And you're secure, obviously, with your teammates. You guys ride together.
Yeah, 100%. You know, these are my guys. You know, we grew it all together. You know, I ain't out there, you know, getting the physical altercations with my teammates. You know, I sit there and talk to them, try to, you know, not break them down, but, you know, build them up.
Never attacked one of them?
No. Never. as much as I want to, you know. You know, I know being trying to be the best leader as possible, trying to, you know, get my point across, you know, even with guys that, you know, are solidified or whatnot, you know, I try to find ways to, you know, be the best leader.
There you go. He threw a little shade that Draymond punched Jordan Poole.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't like lost it. On me.
I like it, and I like the fact that, first of all, I mean, you know that he's solidified here. I mean, his contract also is a great indicator that he ain't going anywhere. But look, he's been great. And I think that it's tough because people take a lot of shots at Draymond, and Charles used to call him the triple single. The one that's tough for me is the fact that he's, I'd say, borderline Hall of Fame, but most people think he's Hall of Fame. I don't know that I'm always willing to go that far. He's unsung too in the fact that he defensively and the way that he goes about passing and knowing the game is, I think, undervalued to some degree because of all the antics. But I think both guys deserve their flowers for Draymond's career, for Dylan Brooks, since he's been a Rocket.
Here was Dylan right after they played again. This little, you know, however long this timeline was, they played again. It was on national TV. Grizzlies beat the Warriors. And Dylan, after the win and then altercations with Draymond Green in that game too.
What was the message that you had to Draymond?
That's what I do. I talk. And, you know, I told him. I told him that, you know, keep that mic. He's better at the mic than pooping. You know what I'm saying? So keep doing this podcast. Keep blogging. Keep doing this thing off the court. You know, it's cute. It's fun for him.
That was an impressive showing tonight.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. You should give the mic to Draymond. Make him talk about me.
What was that?
Make him keep talking about me so I can play better.
All right, guys.
Oh, my goodness.
Then you had the drama on April 6th. Draymond, Alpe, Dylan got in the mix there. Emay talking to Steph. This fires me up for Sunday. I'm ready to go.
Not just for Sunday,
the whole
series.
Now. But Sunday, you can't have a series without game one.
Obviously. I just think that you heard it from Kelly. I think that this is going to be a chippy series. This is going to be really must-see TV in the first round, besides maybe Minnesota, the Lakers is a first-round matchup. I know people are saying Detroit, New York. This is the series everybody wants to see, and it's the young guns.
Certainly
against,
in Houston.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, obviously, the young guns, the Rockets, who are going to continue to be on the rise, and the Warriors trying to hang on. But, yeah, it's going to be fun to see, like, if Dylan does get into it with Draymond, he's got his teammates back. Who's coming to his defense, too?
Alpe.
I think Amen.
Jalen, Amen. They all do. They're all tough. Yeah. Emay has instilled that in them. Emay might off the bench. What's Royal Ivy up to? Royal Ivy's going to sprint onto the floor. Clock somebody. He's gonna pull on Alpe Şengün's leg like Jeff Van Gundy pulled on. Was it Alonzo Mourning or was he yanking on Ewing?
It was Zoe.
That's right. Opposition.
Yeah,
Royal Ivy's gonna pull a JVG. Start ripping it.
I'm pretty sure
Royal. Kevon Looney's
Royal
legs.
I think Royal's swinging. Capable think more than JVG was capable of.
Let's
in
go.
That moment.
Ready. Did you hear what Nick Wright said today? He was well, might have been today, but a podcast that's been circulating around the internet today. I was talking about Dylan Brooks. A lot of people in Houston are mad at him. Here's what he had to say.
I am historically not at all a fan of Dylan Brooks, and one of the reasons I'm not a fan of Dylan Brooks is I think he's a dirty, dangerous player. But that's also a huge bummer for the Warriors, because Dylan Brooks will, like, try to undercut somebody. Dylan Brooks will do things that put other guys in jeopardy. And Draymond is just going to play incredibly physical and tough and might occasionally, like, now, I guess, you know, Draymond does have a soft spot for hitting European centers. This is kind of his favorite thing. Or, you know what I mean? Whether it's Steven Adams, he's not European. Rudy Gobert, Domantas Sabonis. Yeah. So maybe Şengün needs to keep his head on a swivel. But, yeah, I mean, this is going to be a real fight. And Ime Udoka is going to encourage the fight.
He's got a thing for European centers.
Nick Wright is such a tool.
I love that he said Draymond's going to play it tough and clean. And it's like, yeah. Well, he does like
he's
to punch Europeans.
Soft spot for European
and not to forget, listen, to also not forget his track record of kicking people in the nuts.
That too. And, yeah. And,
but he's going to play it tough and clean. Whatever.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. My first takeaway there is, Nick, how much basketball do you watch to realize when has Draymond been above board? Draymond's all about the if the ref's not looking and the follow throughs and the kicks in the groin and. Come on, man.
Letting loose the elbows.
Yeah, all of that.
I haven't.
He's dirtier. I mean, Dylan's no dirtier than Draymond.
I think Draymond's dirtier than Dylan.
I would agree.
I don't think that Dylan is unsafe. Like, I don't think that Dylan Brooks is Bruce Bowen, like, sticking his foot underneath somebody's landing spot. I don't think he's trying to goon somebody and hurt them and get them out of the game or the series. He's borderline, though. Like, he can be borderline, tough, physical, which sometimes can go the other way. So I don't think Nick Wright is, like, terribly out of line here. Now, I wouldn't call Dylan dirty. I would say he's tough, physical, all those things. But I can understand how people think he borders on it. Secondly, good. I want the Golden State Warriors to feel that way. I want Steph Curry to think that when he leaves his feet for a three-pointer that Dylan Brooks might be sliding underneath him. I want them to have that fear. And I'm not calling for Dylan Brooks to hit Lamar Jackson whenever he's out of bounds and draw a 15-yard penalty. But I want the Rockets to have the reputation where the other team is scared to play them because of their physicalness. So I'm happy that Nick Wright said this. I want the fear for Golden State to be, oh no, what's Dylan Brooks going to do to me? Oh no, what's Amen Thompson going to do to me? Because you gain an advantage before you even tip off.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing from a Rockets perspective is this can't be their number one focus, and they can't worry about this. They have to stay clear of the fray in a lot of ways because this is a tactic that he's going to use. Draymond is going to use this every single game of this series. The fact is that they need to stay focused on, we need to stop Steph first, we need to stop Jimmy Butler second, we need to be above that. And that's why I think that I was so proud of them the way they played that last game of the regular season against the Warriors. Alpi could have gone after him. Dylan Brooks could have gone after him. You know, and he kept pushing them, and they were able to take the high road and do what, and they used it as motivation, as we heard Dylan likes to do, and he likes the fact that when people talk to him, he uses it. I think they all need to do that and realize that he's actually doing it to try and get under their skin, and they need to stay clear of it.
I mean, Draymond's not really talking right now, though. Like, what do you mean?
Who?
Like, you talking about, like, in the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dylan's going to do the same thing, though. Like, Dylan and Draymond are very similar. Like, let's be honest. They're very similar players.
I'm curious if Dylan will instigate it.
Oh, I think so.
I don't.
Absolutely, I think so. I think Dylan Brooks will be all up in their kitchen. All up in their kitchen.
There's one thing to say that he's going to body them, be physical with them, be tough with them. That's one thing. But I don't think he will instigate the talking. I think that if it starts, he'll hold his own. I don't think he'll start it because I think it's been a point of contention with this team preparing for this series.
We'll see. Dylan Brooks ain't usually hesitant or bashful about starting a little yapping.
I understand that.
They might be different in the series, and we won't know until the series plays out. But that has not been his M.O. Like he chirps.
In the regular season,
he talks.
Look, with the technicals and everything else, he is free and clear and goes off to instigate on a nightly basis. I think it's going to be different in this series
maybe.
With that guy.
Yeah, maybe. It's going to be fun. Draymond is a thug and should be banned from the league. Dang. That's a little harsh.
You think he's a Hall of Famer?
Oh, yeah. And look, The reason that I think he's a Hall of Famer, like who on the Twitch line said here? Let's see. Somebody said Hall of Very Good. Rhino said Hall of Very Good. And I think Rhino's right. I think Draymond is Hall of Very Good. But the Basketball Hall of Fame is the Hall of Very Good. Like, look at all these guys who make the Hall of Fame. They're all very good. I feel like the Basketball Hall of Fame has the lowest bar of any three professional sports.
Oh, I think that's accurate.
I don't think Draymond Green would take, like, if you put Draymond's career in the baseball, like in Major League Baseball or in the NFL, I don't think he'd be a Hall of Famer. But because the Basketball Hall of Fame has the lowest bar of the three, I 100% think Draymond Green will be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and I think it's such a wide spectrum with the Basketball Hall of Fame because we don't know the criteria per se, but we know championships matter. We know Olympics matter. We know gold medals and that stuff matters. Individual awards matter. His statistics just across the board, other than a couple of seasons, have not been great per se. But he has done all the little things, and he has all the skins on the wall.
Oh, for sure. And, I mean, if he played, like, on a middling NBA team, probably wouldn't be. But right. It does help that he was on a dynasty. Draymond definitely going to the Hall of Fame. Dylan not on his level. Without Steph, Clay, and KD, Draymond is playing in the Chinese League. The most mid-stats ever and gets credit for his defense, which is really just him punching or kicking people in the nuts. They initiate the offense through him sometimes. Like, he kind of, like, is the point of attack on their offense a lot. And if you notice, on April 6th, you know who was guarding Draymond? Fred VanVleet.
Really?
Fred VanVleet, which is interesting. All right, 713-780-ESPN. TK Todd Callis, voice of the Astros, he's next. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time to get the latest about the Stros with Todd Callis. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and Pipe Fitters Local 211. Here's Joel and Jeremy with Todd Callis.
Out to the HR&P guest line, being joined by the TV voice of the Astros, Todd Callis. Todd, thank you for taking a few minutes, as always. Ryan Gusto gets the start. What did you see from his first start that gives you some encouragement about tonight and his future?
Yeah, I saw him throw strikes for the most part, just one walk in his four innings against the Angels. He's going to need to do that again tonight against a good Padres team. But I've liked what I've seen all the way going back to spring training. He was really good every time he went out there in the spring. Very solid in his four relief appearances. I think every time out, he's figuring some things out. He has not looked scared at the big league level. So today will be a good test for Ryan to see where he stands against a team that's 15-4.
TK, let's start with the positives. You know, everybody is obviously still concerned, and they're watching what happened in St. Louis. What are your positives coming off that road trip? What did you see that you really liked after that Cardinals series?
Yeah, I mean, other than Hunter Brown, there wasn't a lot to get excited about. They scored three runs in the first game, melts because Pena hit a three-run home run in the ninth, down 8-0, and then they get two runs. But Hunter Brown and the bullpen shut out the Cardinals, so that was good to see. And then only one run yesterday against Steven Matz and another group of relievers for the Cardinals. That was kind of disappointing, or 2 days ago. That was kind of disappointing to see how they went out on Wednesday and didn't really hit the ball hard after the first two batters of the game. So you're looking for little things. You know, Yonner Diaz went to right field three times, lined out twice and hit a double off the wall and right another time. You're just looking for small wins, and for Yonner, that was a small win. Altuve continues to do his thing. Paredes didn't have any hits, but he's going to be fine. But they really need to get Christian Walker and Yonder Diaz going. And until that happens, this offense is going to struggle. And Jordan had the day off on Wednesday, so that didn't help either, because when other guys are struggling and there's no big man in the lineup, you don't have that punch. So hopefully tonight they'll face their third lefty of the season in Kyle Hart. Hopefully tonight you'll see the offense come alive here at home.
Todd, be our therapist on this Friday. You mentioned Walker. You mentioned Yiner. They're not going to hit below the Mendoza line all year, right?
No, they're not. Yiner hit .299 for an entire season last year, so that's a pretty good sample size. Sample size is still pretty early, 54 bats for Yiner, 7 hits. For Christian Walker, I've talked to two different TV crews now who work in the National League, one of them earlier in the season and one of them more recently in St. Louis. And both of them said the same thing. They're like, this guy's going to be great. They can't believe we got him. They think he's one of the more underrated players in the major league. So what we've seen so far out of Christian Walker is not what they're telling us, but it's also a guy who's had the track record before, so you just have to hang with him. 65 at bats in. Christian's frustrated. You can see it in a couple of close calls that have gone against him, talking to umpires. It's going to get turned around for Christian Walker. He is not 38 years old. He's 34 years old, so the skills are still there. It's just a matter of getting some of these line drives to fall in. And truthfully, making better swing decisions. He had a stretch there of four games where he walked twice every game. Other than that, he hasn't drawn a walk all year. So in 14 games, he's got no walks, and he leads the team in strikeouts with 23. So he needs to make better swing decisions, do a better job of getting into hitters' count and swinging up strikes. But he knows that. He's going to be fine. I know it's frustrating because Astros fans are seeing similar things at first base that they saw when Jose Abreu got here. But I think this is going to be a whole different story at the end of the year.
Todd, you look at the series this weekend against a team that I don't think that they're under the radar per se, but with all the hype the Dodgers get, look, the Giants and the Padres have both been really good. The Padres are loaded, and this is going to be a really good test for a team that unfortunately hasn't been playing its best baseball. But this is kind of a big series early in the season for the Astros.
I think so. I think you kind of get tested as to how good you are right now. Last year was a phenomenal series in San Diego at Petco Park between these two teams. And, you know, the Padres are out there 15-4. They don't have a couple of their hitting stars. Jackson Merrill's out with an injury. Jay Cronenworth's out with an injury. But they're putting it together because their pitching staff is so good. Fewest runs allowed per game in the major league. So for a team that's struggling offensively, just 6 runs in that series in St. Louis, it's going to be a real test. Today's the guy, this starter on there in the rotation, Kyle Hart. You hope they can get to this guy because after that, it's Michael King and Dylan Cease. Doesn't get any easier.
Todd Kalish joining us on the HR&P guest line. TK, you touched on Hunter Brown a bit at St. Louis, the 6 shutout innings. His scoreless inning streak has jumped up into the, I guess it's nearly to the teens, right? The 150,
yeah,
150 ERA on the year, picking up where he left off last season. I hate the ace term whenever you're talking about, like, who's the anchor on your staff and that sort of thing, but I do like the ace term when you're talking about the game's best pitchers. Has Hunter Brown entered the conversation as some of the game's best pitchers?
Yeah, he has. And for me, the big step, obviously, last year from May on, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball. And then how he pitched against his hometown team in the playoffs was another step. And now he's just going out there, and he just looks supremely confident. He looks like he feels like there's no lineup that can touch him. So 17 straight scoreless. Hunter's not going to get the ball in this series. He will face Toronto in the first game of that series beginning on Monday. I'm really, really excited to see what Hunter brings in 2025. I honestly think he could be a guy that could contend for a Cy Young by the end of the year. He's that good.
TK, we talked about the fact that the kind of days off have kind of helped the Astros a little bit in terms of trying to make up for the fact that Eric Geddy broke his thumb. We're going to see Gusto again tonight. Blue Ball has been pitching really, really well in Sugar Land. But we know Lance is on the horizon, too. Is Lance getting the first crack? Is it still, like, on par and on schedule for Lance to get that first crack at kind of jumping into the rotation to help out?
I think that's likely just because you have to do something with Lance. He is going to be done his 30-day window on the IL. And so Lance is not a guy – you have to make a decision. You can't – as much as Blue Ball deserves to maybe get a shot up here – you've already got 5 guys, plus Lance is coming after his start tomorrow. I would think that sometime in the next week or two, you might see Lance up here. So, yeah, I would say McCullers gets a crack before Blue Ball, but I'm excited what AJ Blue Ball has done. And you will more than likely see him at some point this year. You can never go a whole year with 5 or 6 starters, or 7 in this case, if Lance or Blue Ball come up. So, yeah, you're going to see him at some point this year, but I don't think it's his turn right now, barring something else happening between now and the next couple of weeks when Lance comes up.
Todd, great stuff as always. Very appreciative that you're able to join us from the ballpark and call some winners this weekend.
It should be a fun series. A lot of former Astros in town, and the Padres are the best record in baseball. So let's hope the Astros play well and get a series victory.
All right. It's Todd Kalas, voice of the Astros, joining us. Today's interview, TK, brought to you by Pipe Fitters Local 211. They do it right. I was looking at the roster today for the Padres. You know how many former Astros they have? I know they have at least three. Can you name those three?
Musgrove.
Oh, he's on the IL, so I didn't count him. So you could count him. That'd be four. Okay. Yeah, I didn't count him because he went on the active roster, but great, great call, yeah.
I think that's it for me.
That's all you can name?
Yeah, the former Astros on the Padres?
Yeah, there's three on the offensive side. One would catch a lot. Dusty really liked him.
Oh, Baldy.
Yeah, one was a first baseman that they never wanted to get rid of. Fans never wanted to get rid of him. Really good. Golden era, first baseman. Sometimes borderline racist.
Oh, right. Yuli, Baldy, Musgrove, and...
The other one's an outfielder. Wasn't an Astro for very long. Brief period of time. Was left-handed. Could chew bubble gum. That was his calling card.
Trey Cabbage. Astros.
No. He's in Japan, I think. Cabbage.
Is he?
It's Jason Hayward.
Oh, that's right. Jay Hay signed a one-year deal. Yeah,
Jason
known
Hayward's
those.
With the Padres.
I should have known that.
Yeah, Yuli, Baldy. Yuli and Baldy? Like, how are they still in the bigs? And they're playing with the Padres, who are unbelievable.
Yeah.
Very good. We will play, is he a Padre or a little bit later? But they're not on there, so it doesn't matter that I gave those away. All right, who said it? Coming up next. Stupid game. We'll play it when we return. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know what's not stupid, though? Property taxes. Property taxes are stupid. That's why you need Ownwell on your side. Being a homeowner comes with great responsibility, great cost. Ownwell is here to help you with both of those things. Let them take a little bit off your plate, but also save you some money. A lot of homeowners are overpaying on property taxes, and we don't want it to be you because we love you. Head to Ownwell.com right now. Sign up in less than 3 minutes, and their experts will be fighting for you. Cutting-edge technology can start saving you money with no upfront cost. Put your property tax savings back in your pocket, reinvest it, go out to a nice dinner, take the wife out, whatever you want to do. Ownwell handles it all from start to finish. They deliver top results, no upfront cost. You only pay if you save. There's no risk, all reward. 86% of Ownwell's customers do receive a reduction. So what are you waiting for? The average customer that receives a reduction saves over $1,100. Again, what are you waiting for? Head to ownwell.com right now. Sign up in less than 3 minutes and start that protest today. Deadline to protest, May 15th. So get over to ownwell.com today. That's O-W-N-W-E-L-L, ownwell.com.
ESPN 97.5.
It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. T-Mac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
Dexter says, I'm pretty sure Christian Walker was born somewhere and they gave his parents 4 years later. He might actually be 38. We got played again, just like Abreu.
That's more Miguel Tejada, if he's older.
That's a good call.
We're saying that Walker must be older because he stinks right now.
What
do you think about him being injured?
I think there's a chance. I think that you know that players all the... I think it's not the first time we've seen this where a guy tries to play through an injury, especially going to a new situation and you know, not wanting to, like... be out significant at time when you're being counted on. I think there's a possibility.
It's a quick time to come back from an oblique. And his core doesn't look like it's activating.
He could have rushed it.
Yeah. So he's trying to, like, you know, make it look good
new
for a
team,
new team.
Right.
Like, he didn't play in the exhibition games here because he was in West Palm.
Good on him.
ABs.
For not looking overmatched with fastballs, but, you know, obviously struggling, but also.
He's hitting 154. But he looks overmatched, period.
Hey, I don't think that, in terms of how it relates to being compared to a guy like Abreu, who looked like he just got dusted and blown away and just challenged completely by fastballs, aside from Castillo when they played the Mariners a little bit, I thought that he's caught up and still been able to put bat on ball with fastballs.
You might be 100% right. Just looking at Abreu's numbers before he was DFA'd last year and comparing him to Walker, which is not relative to fastballs and touching fastballs and all that. It's completely different. But just looking at overall productivity, Walker 154 average, 482 OPS currently. And it's still early in the year. Abreu last year 124 average, 361 OPS. So, I mean, Walker's been better than Abreu last year.
But we know the comparisons are going to keep coming.
Cleanup man for the Houston Astros. Still can't believe that the Padres signed Yuli after the Yu Darvish stuff. Why not? I mean, they put it to rest. And they were fine, like, the next day. Like, Yuli apologized. You accepted the apology. It was all good.
I think that you, it's a Padres decision. If they're the one making the offer, then they're okay with it. Yuli's going to be, at this point in his career, okay with anybody that's offering him a contract and a chance to play, and he's earned a spot on the roster.
Yeah, 713-780-ESPN, whatever you want to talk about right now. Daniel Jeremiah on Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe.
Are you trying to filibuster your way out of who said it? Is that what's going on right now?
Yeah. Yeah, Jeremiah on Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe. That's the lottery ticket. He's got the highest upside of anyone in the draft, including Cam Ward. What pick would you entertain the idea of the Texans drafting Jalen Milroe?
Joe, you're gonna have to take this over if you want to do.
No, for real. We'll get to it real quick.
I mean, I've heard there's been some. I heard somebody on one of the national shows talk about, and even I think Lance backed it up, that there's some people that are guessing. There's odds on him being the number one overall pick. People are trying to. Yeah. They were talking about it this morning on the bench, but that I don't know where Lance pulled that from. But then there are other people saying that teams are going to draft him to be a running back. If you're going to draft him, I think he's like sixth round, fifth or sixth.
Oh,
round.
He'll be drafted in the second.
Second round.
Oh yeah, he'll be drafted in the second. Yeah, they love they like he. I don't think
as
he can throw the ball.
Quarterback?
I mean, at first,
huh?
He has elite running skills.
Yeah,
elite.
No, he's an unbelievable athlete.
Like, I think he'll be a second round draft.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the tell was he got invited to the green
true.
Room for
yep.
the for the draft. They're not inviting six round picks.
Do you
yeah,
think
that's
the
true. That's
Do you
me.
Think the people that invite the pro prospects are in conversations with people who know about the draft?
That's what Lance has claimed, that apparently there's a guy, and it used to be Gil Brandt, that would take a survey of basically everyone's boards and then invite the people that were kind of consensus top half of the draft.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I definitely think that there's some intel.
So Milroe, to get that invite, has to be thought of pretty high.
You think there's any chance he gets in the back half of the first round? Like the last five picks of the first round?
I think it's possible.
They're saying that Jackson Dart is moving up.
Filibuster.
But I don't know.
What do you like about Jackson Dart?
Oh, come on. They asked for Jackson Dart.
All right, fine. Quote one.
Quote one. Jeez, we killed a lot of time there. All right, quote one.
I didn't cut enough.
I know. There's still enough time. We still got like 6 minutes. All right, quote one. I saw challengers. You're not even winning one of those events. She's not even winning the tournament in Cincinnati before you get to the U.S. Open. I think that was the timeline for that movie. People were focused on the Zendaya making those two guys kiss each other. Now it's like, hey, let's get to the tennis. Stop being led around by this woman. You're trying to win a tournament here.
This is this movie that came out.
Challengers was the movie with Zendaya like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, this is the one where she has two boyfriends.
Yes.
Yeah,
I saw a preview of that. That was awful.
Yeah, like she's super saucy off the court or something.
This isn't based on a true story.
I don't think so. No. But I don't know. I didn't see the movie.
So they were talking about that movie this week?
Well, there was a story that came up in the world of tennis, and it led into this person.
What was the story in the world of tennis?
I don't know. That might give it away.
So what was it?
Decline.
Paul or Dell, if it's any kind of that movie reference?
I don't think they would be talking about an outdated movie like that, though. Like, it kind of sounds to me like John.
Would it be... Wouldn't be News of the Weird?
Could be. He said it might give it away.
That's kind of random. I don't really have a feel for this one.
Well, let's do John then.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I saw Challengers.
Okay, whatever.
You're not even winning one of those events. You're not even winning the tournament in Cincinnati before you get to the U.S. Open. I think that was the timeline for that movie.
I can't believe he watched that movie.
That's what I say. The only two people would have watched that movie is Dell or Paul.
Yeah, but he's usually more current. Like, he wouldn't be. He usually doesn't talk about movies that are 2 years old. What happened this week?
So there was a match between female tennis players where apparently one of the competitors asked the umpire to make the other girl put on deodorant.
Oh, really?
Apparently she stunk, and then I don't remember how he and Sean transitioned over to Challengers exactly, but that was where it started from.
Wow.
That movie looks awful. I can't believe you watched it. What did they have on IMDb or on Rotten Tomatoes?
I just called Challengers 70 plus.
No chance.
I think it was reviewed decently. I didn't have any interest, but
It's at 88.
There you go.
Because it was saucy.
88%? Unreal. What other movies are overrated?
Nope. Quote two. I like the effort, though. All right, quote two. For the Rockets, it's pretty much Jazz and Warriors. And Jazz is pretty leftover, to be honest with you. What do the Jazz have that bothers? I mean, we've jazzed up the Jazz. The Jazz aren't even in. You're holding on to baggage. You got a lot of additional baggage. Most Rocket fans, younger Rockets fans, they could care less about the Jazz. The Jazz? What do the Jazz do to us? Those guys suck.
They said they could care less, not couldn't care less?
Yes. I meant to say terrible. Beforehand, because I intentionally included this one to trigger you, and you noticed it right away.
How do they let these people on air? Could care. If you could care less, you could care less.
Definitely John or Lance.
Okay, which one?
Because of the fact that I don't think anybody else.
I didn't say why. I said which one. Sorry, I couldn't help it. Respectfully.
I was thinking Lance.
Let's go for it. I suck at this game.
For the Rockets, it's
pretty
much
Jazz and Warriors. Give me some love. Give me some love.
To be honest with you,
it's one of my love.
What do the Jazz have that bothers
you? Touch.
I'll leave it playing for the cook here. Less.
The Jazz aren't even in. You're holding on to baggage. You got a lot of additional baggage.
Yeah.
Most Rocket fans, younger Rocket fans, they could care less about
Come
the Jazz.
Come on, Lance.
Like, Jack.
Don't hit me with a could care less. If you could care less, you would care less. You couldn't care less.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
He's got an excuse, though. He's up to here with draft work.
Stuff,
if this
yeah.
happened in, like, August, I would placement. Give him more grief. But right now, let him off the hook.
He's talking about hip movement and hand placement. He's got a lot of things.
I hope he doesn't slip up on NFL Network and say that, though.
Oof, that'd be a bad look.
I mean, you can get away with it here. Skills. You can't get away with it there.
Ball skills, yeah. Big one. Hip Man. Thrust.
What are other phrases that we use improperly?
All right, quote number three. Oh, Australia? Those are some of the roughest people. Well, he's New Zealand. Or Australia? I think he's a New Zealander. And they're even rougher than the Australians, because they're an offshoot of the criminals. Australia was made from the criminals that England tried to get all their criminals and everything, just throw them in Australia. And then from there came the New Zealanders. So yeah, they're rough people.
It's either Lance or Paul.
I think it's Lance.
Talking about Stephen Adams.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. It's either Lance or Paul. One more time, please, Brian.
Oh, Australia? Those are some of the roughest people. Well, he's New Zealand, or Australia. I think he's a New Zealander, and they're even rougher than the Australians because they're an offshoot of the criminals. Australia was made from the criminals that England tried to get all their criminals and everything, just throw them in Australia. And then from there came the New Zealanders. So, yeah, they're rough people.
I was Paul until I thought I heard this. And if I heard this...
I thought you were Lance.
No, I'm saying that's why I went to Lance. Because I heard it on the bench.
That didn't mess up.
I think I heard it on the bench.
Let's go with Lance then. Let's do it.
Lance again.
Oh, Australia?
Yeah! Those are some of the roughest. I'm so good!
Well, he's New Zealand or Australia? I think he's New Zealand. And they're even rougher than the Australians. Because they're an offshoot of the criminals.
Offshoot of the criminals is my favorite line. that's so good. He made up for the could care less with that
that's
one.
That's why I included that one. Offshoot of the criminals is pretty funny. All right, quote four. And I think it was BS2 that they cut into O.J. Simpson in the midst of the NBA Finals. That was ridiculous. He didn't even kill himself. I mean, what were we watching for? Just watching a Ford Bronco drive under the speed limit? What is this, San Antonio?
Gotta be Granada.
He sounds too worked up.
Who else was here and knew about what was going on?
I was TikToking the first half of that. Can you repeat it, please?
You did a TikTok during the first half?
I wasn't recording one. I was looking at it.
All right. And I think it was BS2 that they cut into the O.J. Simpson in the midst of the NBA Finals.
Everybody knows that, though.
That was ridiculous. He didn't even kill himself. I mean, what were we watching for? Just watching a Ford Bronco drive under the speed limit? What is this, San Antonio?
I mean, everybody knows that they cut into the Rockets still. Like, it's in every O.J. documentary. Like, yeah, anybody knows that, I think. I don't think that's an age thing.
My initial thought was John.
He's getting worked up. Does John get that worked up, though?
Sometimes.
All right, go for it. You got the last two right. I'm not going to stand in the way.
And I think it was BS2 that they cut into
O.J.
Simpson.
All right, we got one for the win.
In the midst of the NBA Finals. That was ridiculous. He didn't even kill himself.
Sounds a shame that he didn't kill himself.
I think Paul was rooting for it, yeah. All right, quote number five for the win. I don't think anyone has ever admitted they're Robin. in the history of sports. Because who wants to be Robin? Especially if we're talking about the very, very old version of Robin in the goofy TV series with Adam West as Batman. No one's ever wanted to be Robin. Robin wears a leotard.
Sounds Lancey again.
Lanzardell. Could be Paul.
Yeah.
Like, how many people know Adam West did the whatever Batman deal? Like, I wouldn't have been able to go there. I would not have known that.
I think the guys in the morning
that.
Do.
You think? I'm not sure Granato does.
I think he does.
I think it's Lance Paul or Dell.
I heard Lance. One more time, please, Brian.
I don't think anyone has ever admitted they're Robin in the history of sports. Because who wants to be Robin? Especially if we're talking about the very, very old version of Robin in the goofy TV series with Adam West as Batman. No one's ever wanted to be Robin. Robin wears a leotard.
I think it's either Dell or Lance. I don't think it's Paul.
Okay.
And I know that Dell and Michael talk a lot. They're all about the superhero movies and all that other stuff. I know Lance would know. But when do you call him tights? Or what do you call him leotard?
You said leotard.
I know, but would Lance be more likely to call him tights?
I think Lance has leotard in his repertoire.
I'm just saying, from a quick slang term for what he wore tights. It's kind of like the Breakfast Club.
I'm lost on this. I have no help.
No help.
Nope. You're on your own.
Okay.
Jeremy's not even supposed to be here today.
Why?
Well, no, he doesn't want to do this segment.
I don't.
He tried to kill it with a filibuster.
I tried.
Well, now you know that I pulled two out of my rear end. Now I'm trying to go for the win to have a good weekend. Lance, one more time.
I don't think anyone has ever admitted they're Robin in the history of sports. Because who wants to be Robin? Especially if we're talking about the very, very old version of Robin and the goofy TV series with Adam West as Batman. One's ever wanted to be Robin. Robin wears a leotard.
Missed it.
Yep.
Them's the bricks.
So close and yet so far away.
What's this Granato thing that happened here, Brian? Somebody called in or what?
Yeah, someone, I'm trying to remember the full reference now. It's been a few days.
Carlos,
but someone
Lee
called
era.
And asked him his opinion of what the Astros are currently. And Granato answered they were in their Carlos Lee phase.
Okay. Let's talk about that. Are the Astros in their Carlos Lee era? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.